Thankful to be able to be here tonight. Thankful to have the help to be here. There's those that do not have the health nor the ability to be in the house of God tonight. And how sad is that, that we take it for granted that when we're able to be in the house of God, we're not. There's times that we know that things get in our way, and it's hard. It's hard to get there. I know my family wishes they could be here today, but things got in the way that they can't all be here with us tonight. I wasn't expecting to speak today. Came to hear good preaching, so do pray for me. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to turn with me, please turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want us to look and into, let's begin with verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Lord, be with me. I'd like to draw our attention to this portion of scripture found in verse 15, but mainly all over. But verse 15, notice it says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. We understand that being saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone, we understand we cannot lose our eternal salvation. There's a lot of people that love to think that just because they're saved by grace, it gives them, as my old pastor used to say, the license to go out there and do anything you want to do, but that's not what it does. It doesn't give you the license or the hall pass for those that may be young in school. It doesn't give you that pass to say, hey, I'm going to go do what I want. I've been saved by grace and grace alone, and I can live any way I want to live and do any way I want to do because I'm saved by the grace of God. But you've got to understand that when you have been saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone, it encourages you to be able to grow in that grace. It encourages you to want to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father who has known you before the foundation of the world, who has sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Bridegroom, into this world to live the perfect and upright life, to die on the cross as the spotless Lamb of God, perfect in every way, shape, form, and fashion, offer Himself up upon that cross. He wasn't taken by force, you understand. He laid Himself down for our sakes to pay a price we could not pay. And He died and He rose again. That's the power of God. But I want you to see here that there it says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. What does that mean? Think about it. If your father went out and purchased a piece of property for you as an inheritance, And he gave it to you early. He didn't just write it in his will to give to you after he passed away and something you didn't know about. But he gave it to you knowingly. And he gave you this portion of property with this house on it. And you went out there and you accepted that gift. But his desire was that you honored him with the gift that he gave you to take care of it. Now say that you went out and you didn't take care of the gift that he gave you. You squandered it. Is it still yours? Absolutely. But you have squandered the very gift that God has given you. You've not taken care of it. You've let the vines grow up on the side of the building. You've let the termites take control of the floor joists. You've allowed the bills not be paid. You've allowed it to go in disarray and it get in all manner of trouble. It wouldn't be any good, would it? But it's still yours. There's not much value to a house that somebody has not taken care of, is there? But thanks be to God, because of his marvelous grace, he has saved you by his grace. He has loved you with an everlasting love. He has called you out, brothers and sisters. Let us not fail in our own feeble way, which we all do, by the way, at one point in time in our lives. We all fail at some point. Let us not fail of that grace of God that God has given us. He's blessed you to be able to live by his grace, in his grace. You're his children. That is a blessing. There in verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. How many times, brothers and sisters, have we gotten out there in the world that we see those that they hang down low? The knees may be feebled. And how many times have we gone about and we hadn't helped hold up their hands and strengthen them? How many times have we gotten to the point that we didn't go along and help strengthen up the feeble knees? Brothers and sisters, hadn't you ever been there with a loved one that was aging in some ways? I could think of Elder Charles Cagle. When we go out and visit him, he's getting feeble in the knees. They've got a home health out there trying to help get him strengthened up, and it's making a difference, even in his 90s. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. How many times have we gotten feeble the knees and our weakness and the failures that we have, the flaws that we have in this old human nature today? Have you gotten to a point where you get there and you help strengthen them and help and go alongside that brother or sister and strengthen them? You think back, Simon went and he helped the Lord along to the cross, to take that cross to Calvary. Jesus didn't need the help. Jesus could have spoke, let it be there upon that mount. He would have just been there if he wanted to. He didn't need it. But what did he do? He suffered it for our sake, as an ensample for our sakes, that we are able to grow and help one another and strengthen one another. But notice this in verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet. In other words, not crooked, not going to the right or to the left, but straight paths. You ever had your eye fixed upon something as a young child? You wanted something really bad. Nothing could keep you from acquiring what you really wanted as a young child, working for something. We tried to teach Benjamin how to work for something and have a work ethic this past year. And his what he had was a school trip to Disney World. He wanted, you know, take what you want to say, you know, it's I'm not going to try and stretch that out and explain it to a child when all they know is they want to go to a theme park. But brothers and sisters, he wanted to go, and this was before all this mess came out. But let me tell you, he worked so hard. And I told him, I said, if you'll do the very best you can, what is left, I'll take care of, and we'll go. He did exceedingly above anything I could ever think of. I was very thankful for that. He learned a work ethic. He had a straight path he was working towards, and he wanted to acquire it. Brothers and sisters, do you have a straight path that you want to acquire? Let us look over here in the first verse of chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What does it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There was shame there in that cross. He despised it, but he endured it, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, it says in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to be looking unto Jesus. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. Not only walking by faith, as we all understand that we live by the faith of God and live in the faith and have faith, exercise our faith, but brothers and sisters, we're able to have faith because of his faithfulness, you understand. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man, what, should boast. Brothers and sisters, that faith is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. God is a faithful God. Those he knew before the foundation of the world, he loved you intimately, cared for you. He knew you intimately. He was faithful. And his son was faithful even unto death. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they three be one. But God the Son was faithful even unto death. God the Father has always been faithful. God the Holy Spirit is faithful. As John talks about, that no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. No man. Not us being disobedient. Not us living in a wrong way. Not us not believing. But brothers and sisters, let me say this. When it says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is that sin? I believe that sin is the sin of unbelief. Because you take the sin of unbelief and doubt, it takes hold of you and it causes everything else. It's like one lie that leads to another lie. Best thing is to stop the lying and repent. You know, in other words, stop the unbelief in the things of God and God's word. Stop not believing in what God has told us to do. Stop not trusting in the Lord. He's your Savior. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? The problem we've got today, so many people have started trusting everything else out there except their Heavenly Father. They started reading into anything and everything except trusting in God's Word. And when God's Word doesn't match up to what they want, they start changing God's Word and calling it God's Word. It's not God's Word. Do you believe God's Word or do you not believe God's Word? It's as simple as that. If you believe not, it doesn't mean that you are not a child of grace. You're a child of grace because of his marvelous grace and who's so faithful. But you've got consequences in this life when you don't believe what God's word teaches. When you don't follow in the grace of God, when you don't live in the grace of God, when you don't go down the path that is straight before you, that God's word has set before you, instead you're going to the right and to the left. How sad has it gotten to be this day and time that so many people get to that point? I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 1. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Brothers and sisters, isn't that the way it is about us sometimes? We've gotten to a point where, like Sardis, each one of these churches that was written here in Revelation, each one of these churches is a representation of the New Testament church of today, of what our churches are going through today, until the good Lord takes us home to be with him. Let me tell you, right here in Sardis, their works aren't perfect before God. Is it saying they're not children of God? Is it saying they have ceased to be the church of the living God? No, it's not perfect. You say we're not perfect. We're human beings and we're not perfect. But God has called us out to do better. Verse 2, see, it said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to," what? "Die." We've got problems today now in our country that so many things are ready to die. There's people out here today that want to see this country die. People today don't want to see the church meeting today. People want to see the church to die. But brothers and sisters, judgment begins in the house of God. That means we need to start right here and now in the house of God, right here at Union, up there where I pastor. Every church here in the United States and across the world needs to start right here and now. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. If we go back to that opening text there in Hebrews chapter 12, we find there, what is it saying? In verse 13, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." You know, if you're going up and down mountains and unbeaten paths, across the woods with no shoes on, you're not going to really have healed feet, are you? Your feet's going to be shot. Your feet's going to be hurting. It's going to be in pain. If you're like me, 40 years old, chasing after a bunch of teenagers at Disney World for a few days, your feet's dead and you're in pain. And you can't wait to sit down. I never thought I would say the day that I felt that way, but I have never, never walked that many miles in my life every day and had only 4 hours of sleep every day. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you, That's just a worldly example of what I'm trying to say here. We need to be watchful and ready to strengthen those things that are ready to die. Are we ready to die now? You say, hey, what you talking about? I'm still young. That's not what I'm talking about. What the Word of God's talking about is spiritually. He's using physical things there in Hebrews to bring about some things that are spiritual. Are you ready to die spiritually? Have you been watching? Have you been ready to strengthen yourself in the things of God? Because if judgment begins in the house of God and our country's in the shape that it's in, what does that mean that's going on in our churches today? One faithful, fervent prayer from a fervent, faithful child of grace availeth much. So if one fervent, faithful prayer can availeth much from a child of grace, how much more when our churches, when we as God's people, come together and worship in spirit and in truth, and come together sound in doctrine and in practice as Jesus Christ, our Lord, intended for the New Testament church to be. What a blessing. Yet we've got so far out that we've tried to satisfy men. We have tried to satisfy, Elder J.C. Staniland has been doing an article, a series of articles there in John chapter 12, and a wonderful job. But also, I've been studying the same thing. It's very interesting just how much we get out of line. And we look to men instead of looking to God. And if we look to God, how marvelous and how wonderful it can be. Because let me tell you, in studying the subject, it's interesting just how Satan really doesn't like you to study it. Amen. You will be beat up on. You will be discouraged. The enemy will discourage you. Things will happen and try and discourage you and try and keep your mind off of thinking about the things of God and what God's Word's teaching. And things is being revealed in times that we're living in today. Just in simple things as loving the things of God versus the things of man. And, how marvelous is it? Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we follow peace, it's not talking about going about seeking peace like the world seeks peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So if we seek peace, we're going to be seeking God's will. Jesus Christ came into this world not to bring peace, but as a sword to rightly divide what? Between that which is right and that which is wrong. That which is truth and that which is error. That which is the truth or a lie. Who is the father of lies? Satan. So when there's discord, when there's problems, it's Satan getting in the mix, causing problems. Rebuke him. And pray. And get on your knees. And ask the good Lord to help you. And strengthen you. And bless you. And help you grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We want to not fail of the grace of God. I'm not saying failing and being able to acquire our salvation or keep our salvation by God's grace. That's not what it's talking about. But here and now, honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and being thankful for what our Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us and that great love that He has given us. He's given us so much, hasn't He? He's given you eternal life. He's given you a heavenly home. And He's given you so much that you can't even fathom half of what God has blessed you to have, much less be able to understand it all. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you what you do have and what you do, what little you do understand. Let us not fail of the grace of God. Let us rejoice and let us grow in that grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, like I mentioned to the church last Sunday, we have growing pains as we're growing up, don't we? As young children, you remember growing pains. Guess what? I'm finding out I still have growing pains today. And I believe that everything that my grandparents complained about was growing pains then. That's a better way to look at it, isn't it? Because as you grow, you get to a better understanding and a wisdom and a knowledge. And when you look back, you're able to see it at a better height if you're growing in the things of God. Versus what you did years ago. And I hope that we can all grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, there's a lot. When I was a young boy, there's a lot I could be bitter on. I could run off to another state and stay away from people I've known in this area where I grew up. I grew up right here in Roswell, Georgia. I could just be bitter. But what, it's not going to do anything except keep you and harm you from growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have failed at that grace of God. You have failed at being able to enjoy that grace that He has saved you with. You have failed in it. In the next verse, when it brings up, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Bitterness leads, it's like a lie, it's like a sin, it leads to more. And let me tell you something, right here, when it's talking about Esau, it's not saying that, hey, he was a child of grace at one time, he lost his eternal salvation. It's talking about an earthly thing in which there was an earthly birthright there that he had. But let me tell you this, the word of the Lord tells us, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But understand that God's great love, He loved Jacob, He hated Esau. But Esau there having that natural birthright there, he sold that birthright outright for just a morsel. Brothers and sisters, how much do you despise, how much do you have bitterness towards anything in this life or what you're doing in this life, and it robbing you of the blessings that you could have in this life by growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in which He has saved you by His marvelous grace. He saved you by His grace. He's blessed you, and He's given His word for you. Let us be able to grow in it and be thankful for it. And I hope and pray I didn't take too much time, because I want to hear Brother Dan Hall. I'm thankful for him. Appreciate all that he's taught me through the years, and please pray for him. Thank you.